I'm now going to read the passage, and we're finishing our series in Revelation today. We're in Revelation, beginning in chapter 21, which is on page 1251 of the Bibles on your tables. And I'm going to read from chapter 21, verse 9, to the end of chapter 22. Then came one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies foursquare, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall, 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honour of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with us all. Amen.
Well, one of the great challenges, I think, of working in the WAF for Christians is the lure of the city. I shared previously, I think a couple of weeks ago now, when I used to work in the city, there's a real kind of dangerous attraction to what the city has to offer. And you may remember I went up to my colleague's house for a celebration, and this is really sort of posh house, beautiful driveway as I was driving in. And, you know, as you know, there's a private chef preparing dinner for all of us, amazing wine, and another colleague of mine driving up the driveway with his Ferrari 512. And the thing about in the city, it normalizes a certain kind of lifestyle. The kind of discussion topics that you have around the tables, the career progressions, the bonuses, the investment portfolios, maybe the latest watch, the handbag, or the travel destination. And the city is the means by which it offers you the good life, the way to achieve that very good life that you want. And sometimes we are lured in, not by one big decision that we make, or a big mistake, but by small changes, small decisions that we make over time. I was speaking to a friend of mine who is quite a senior leader in one of the banks that I used to work for, and he mentioned he was reflecting on his current situation, and while he was highly successful, he has some really great regrets of his current life circumstances. And he said to me, well, given a choice, he would not choose to be in the current situation that he is in. However, he also said as he reflected about his life decisions, it wasn't one or two big decisions that has led him to this very point, but just small decisions over time, decision by decision by decision over time. And before he realized, he's been heading down a certain path. And so do you feel the pull of the world? Do you experience the lure? Do you feel the attraction of the city? And yet at the same time, you know, the book of Revelation has been very clear. The solution is not to remove yourself from the world. We are called to be in the world, but not of it. We're called to be in the world to witness about Jesus. So how do we resist the lure of the world? So let's hear what God is saying to us in our final passage in Revelation. And as we've been hearing the reading be read out, we see that the big image in the passage is the bride and a wedding. And remember, the bride and this woman that we see, she's not the first woman that we've met in Revelation so far. Because the first one we've met is the prostitute, back in chapter 17, or Babylon, or the anti-God world. And you remember the prostitute, when John was looking at her from afar, she was attractive, seductive, alluring. She offered prosperity. But then when you zoom in and you look at her up close, she is repulsive. Again, from afar, you look at her, she offers a protection. But then when you zoom in, all her relationships are transactional in nature. And so the call that John gave to the readers is to come out. Come out of her, my people, come out. But as we know, exposing what is bad about something, well, it's not enough to avoid it. You know, after all, anyone in addiction knows that addiction is bad. That doesn't give us a solution to avoid it. And here's an axiom to kind of consider. The way to fight against the love for something bad or addiction or vice is to direct your love to something better. A love must be fought by love. Desire must be fought by desire. See, it's not enough to say stop loving the world, but you need to add, we need to direct our love for a new world. And so the question is, who will win your love? Is it a prostitute or is it the bride? Chapter 21, verse 9. The angel said, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. The bride is the beautiful city, the new Jerusalem. Here, described here to win over your love, loving, longing for this future to come. And the way to understand this passage, this final passage in Revelation, is the best way to think about it is Google Maps. You know, Google Maps, you kind of zoom out, you look at the globe from space, see this beautiful round sphere with blue and green and clouds floating around. And then you scroll your mouse up, you start zooming in, and you see the United Kingdom. And you zoom in, you see London, you zoom in, you see Canary Wharf, and you zoom in, and you hit satellite view, and you see the barge. So that's the way to think about this passage. And what John is doing here in our passage, he's going to help us to zoom in. We see the holy city from afar. And then we scroll up and we zoom in closer and closer to the very core of the holy city. And that's the climax of the city that we will see. And so why is it worth resisting the lure of the city? Well, for a final time, we will be putting on the glasses that Revelation wants us to see, the world for what it truly is, that John gives to us. And so let's dive in. And firstly, we will see that this city, this new city, it will be glorious. The three aspects of the city: its prosperity, its protection, and its population. Well, see where you can notice those three aspects as I read from verse 9. Chapter 21, verse 9. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain to show me the holy city coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God as radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and his gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates, and on the north, 3 gates, and the south, 3 gates, and the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Well, firstly, this prosperity. A couple of years ago, I was in Portugal with my wife. We were there on holiday. And if you've ever been to Portugal, you visited some of the churches, you notice that the churches were built in the Baroque era, and they are absolutely stunning. The churches are kind of covered with gold everywhere in those churches. They're really, really stunning-looking churches. And how were they funded? Well, you know, somewhat nefarious means, gold, probably from somewhere in South America, built perhaps on exploitation. And that's similar to the prostitute. You know, it's the prostitute from afar, jewels, shiny, prosperous, built on exploitation. But not here. You see, the city here described is a city that comes from God. Verse 10, a holy city coming down from heaven from God. It is a city given by God, not taken from others. And then as we scroll our mouse and we zoom in, what do we see? Look at verse 18. The wall was built of jasper and the city of pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the wall of the city adorned with every kind of jewel. Every kind of jewel. And so the whole city is laden with jewels and gold and prosperity. And here is a picture of beauty and abundant prosperity. This new city, all the creature comforts of this world and more. More luxurious, more comfortable, more prosperous. And we will be prosperous. And I know as those of you who are, when I say the word prosperous, some of you may be squirming in your seats. You know, this language of money and prosperity, you guys are not very comfortable with it. So I'm from Asian background, totally fine with me. but I want to say that even though I think British people, they don't like to talk about money and prosperity, many still do want to be rich, just not explicitly so. And I want to say explicitly, there's nothing wrong with being prosperous. You see, prosperity itself is good. The problem with what the Bible says is not prosperity itself, it is the timing. You know, Jesus says, do not store your treasures on earth, but instead you store your treasures or you lay them up in heaven. See, treasure itself is good. Earthly treasure, bad. Heavenly treasure is good. See, the issue is the timing. And so the problem with the prosperity gospel, there are many problems, but one of the key problems is the timing. Now is not for prosperity. Now is for witnessing even to the point of death. But later is a time for prosperity. And I think this really helps, because we don't have to pretend that we do not love comfort or prosperity. But I can park my ambitions in the future, where God will give me a city that will be prosperous. And so John describes the city here to win you over, to win us over. If you love your comfort and you love your holidays, there will be. We have eternity to travel the world, to enjoy. There will be. If you like your Ferraris, and maybe you do, don't quote me, there may very well be Ferraris in the new creation. Who knows? But it will be better and bigger and more prosperous there. The new Jerusalem will be prosperous. But not only will it be prosperous, it will also be protected. The prostitute we saw in chapter 17 offered no security. It was a false sense of security. And the beast that she was sitting on devoured her in the end. And think of safety that this world may offer through your reputation or your network or through your financial security. But cancer culture, still alive and well. What is right today may be wrong tomorrow. Or sometimes it just takes the crashing of the financial markets, a call of the doctor, and all your protection is gone. But the bride is different. This bride comes from Jerusalem, out of God, this new Jerusalem. Verse 12, it had a great high wall with 12 gates and the gates of 12 angels. High wall and protection. Now look at verse 27. And nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. See, the security that is provided by this world, it will not last, not the pension pot or your investment portfolio. But in the new city, there will be safety. Nothing unclean will ever enter it. Prosperity, protected, but also populated, thirdly. Again, look at verse 12. You had a great high wall, 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels, and on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. And then down to verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles, I suggest, represents the whole covenantal community above all and new Israel. Though our names inscribed into the city. But then again, we scroll up and we zoom in. Look at verse 16. The city lies four square, its length the same as his width. And he measured the city with a rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and its width and its height are equal. 12,000 stadia, the number 1,000 is symbolic of a really long time or a really big amount in Revelation. And so 12 times 12 times 1,000 is a symbolic of a very huge place. Lots of space in the city for people to come in. But as we zoom in, who do we see? Look at verse 24. By its light will the nations walk. And the kings of the earth will bring their glory in, and its gates will never be shut, for there will be no night. They will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, not anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. But you may notice that the language in verse 24, the nations and the kings of the earth, those who walk in, those labels were descriptions of individuals who were hostile against God in the other parts of Revelation, back in chapter 16 and chapter 6. But here, these people are the ones who are walking into the new Jerusalem. It's fascinating. Those who once shook their fists against God are here coming into the new Jerusalem, bringing their glory to serve the King. So what does this mean? I think this means that our witnessing will be a success. The nations will be brought in. That colleague or that friend or maybe that family member of yours that you have been trying to share the gospel with, they will be walking into the new Jerusalem. All the prayers and all the suffering and all the conversations that you had will all be worth it. And I'm sure some of you, like me, will have close friends or families who, if you see them walking into the New Jerusalem, your hearts will be filled with joy. Like me, if I see this friend of mine or this close friend member walking to New Jerusalem, that will be joyous. And the picture here reminds us that that may happen and that will happen as people please God, walking in, being drawn into the glory of the Lamb. And so the city, it will be glorious. It's prosperous, it is protected, and it will be populated. And so there is more than enough reason for us to kind of come out of Babylon and come into the New Jerusalem. But the reality is that we've not yet reached the highlight of the city. Because in the middle of the city, there is the climax of everything. See, from afar, we really got a clue of who is in the middle of the city. You notice the measurement of the city? At verse 16, is measured as a cube. If you know a bit of the Old Testament, the cube is the same dimensions as the Holy of Holies back in the Old Testament. And in verse 22, we read, there is no temple, because in the city is the Lord God himself. And so we zoom in, what do we see? Look at chapter 22, verse 1. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as a crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And through the middle of the city, on either side, the tree of life, and with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding fruits each month, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. As we zoom in, we see this river flowing, and we see the tree of life. And the tree of life, as you know, right there in the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, the tree of life. But here, not one tree of life, but two trees of life for the healing of the nations. But if there is a river and there is a tree of life, that can only mean one thing. Because our eyes, as we follow the river flow and we see the tree of life, our eyes look up and we see the one who's right in the middle. Look at verse 3. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. You see, this is the great center point, the high point, the climax of the New Jerusalem. Right in the middle, the climax of Revelation, all that this book has been pointing for, the climax of history, all that this world has been heading to, is God himself, up close and personal. We will see his face. There is intimate access, physical proximity. We will see his face. You see, it's hugely important that the new creation is physical, because it will be like this world, but better and more prosperous and much better. And all that you enjoy in this world, they will be there and more. But the best part of the New Jerusalem is God himself. We will see his face. And that has been the big question from the beginning of the Bible. Humanity cast out from the presence of God. And the big question is, how will humanity get back into relationship with him? And no one can see the face of God and live. Moses could not see the face of God and live. But at the very end, we will see his face. Our faith will turn to sight. And we will see him and behold him. And so that is why it's ultimately worth resisting the lure of this world. Because the New Jerusalem, it will be glorious. And all that you want in this world, it will be there and more. But the climax of all, we will see our God and his Son, the Lord Jesus, close, intimate access with our Heavenly Father. We will see him face to face. Our faith will turn to sight. And so we come to the end of Revelation. And it's been my hope and prayer to put the book of Revelation into your hands. Because I think the devil really hates it when people understand the book of Revelation, because it exposes his lies. And so my hope has been to kind of put the book back in your hands. It's not a scary book. It's a book for you to open and read. But it's also encouragement for you to remember the call. The call to conquer. To be willing to witness unto death. To be faithful and to persevere. And to come out of Babylon and into the New Jerusalem. Why don't I pray? Jesus says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray for the return of your Son, that when he comes, he will put everything right. And to that day, help us to look forward to the day where this new Jerusalem will be given to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.